From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino, and I'm Rita Moreno.
Yes, that Rita Moreno, the one and only Rita Moreno, is here with me in NPR Studios in New York, and I want to thank her for being on Alt Latino. We're honored to say that this is her second appearance on the show. Rita, welcome.
And it's not going to be the last, I'll bet you.
We're so honored for your second appearance on the show.
That's right.
Last time you were here, you had just released an album.
Oh, that's right. Una vez más.
Right.
Right.
And now you're here with the second season of a new Netflix series. And, you know, I think people would be okay if you decided to take it easy now and not work so hard.
No okay? way. No. Listen, you know, it's the difference between not liking what you do and loving what you do. I love what I do. If somebody took this away from me now, I would be heartbroken. I love what I do.
It shows.
Good.
It shows. And we're glad to have you here to talk about it. Okay, so we're going to talk about the Netflix series One Day at a Time. It's a remake of a sitcom that ran from 1975 to 1984, and it was a story of a divorced mom raising two teenage daughters. It has been reset with a Cuban-American family, a divorced mom, a teenage son, and a teenage daughter, and Lydia, or Abuelita. And that is your character on the show.
And I adore her. She is so big. Big is my middle name. Rita Big Moreno. No, but I love playing her. I get the accent from my mommy, pero the rest of it is really truly the invention of these astonishing writers, one of whom is Cuban, and that's Gloria Calderon Kellett from How I Met Your Mother, and the other one is Mike Royce from Everybody Loves Raymond. So we have two fantastic writers plus a spectacular producer, Norman Lear.
Legendary producer.
Legendary, and who, you know, this show on CBS ran for 9 years with an all-white cast and a wonderful, funny show about, a divorced woman. Well, you can describe it best, a divorced woman with trying to bring up two teenage kids. But now it's a Cuban-American woman with a Cuban mommy who came from Cuba, who's not the easiest person in the world, but that's what makes her so funny.
Well, you know, the character, I think, is the comedic and heart and soul of the show.
Lydia.
Yes, Lydia. Uh-huh. I think that everything coalesces around her in a way, like some of the storylines, but principally the spirit and the togetherness of the family. And I'm wondering, like, how much of an input do you have in the character development and some of the lines that you have in the show?
I have to honestly say, I would love to say that I make up some of those lines, but no, they're not mine. They belong to the writer's room, somewhere up there in the ether where these strange people reside. It's very much them. Once in a while, I come up with things like, holy caca, that woman is really very ugly. But that's mine. Pero, you know, really, most of the time, it's them. They understand this character. But the one thing that comes strictly from me is that when I was first asked to do the part of Lydia, I remember having a conference call with Norman Lear, the producer, and Gloria and Mike, the head writers. And I said, I have one request. And if that can't be met, I'm not sure that I want to do this. So I got them a little nervous, which was not intentional. And I said, I know she's 77 years old, but I want her to be a sexual being. And both of the writers whooped. Oh, great. We love that. And boy, have they taken advantage of that. Yes. She's shameless. I mean, she flirts with her daughter's boyfriend. She's shameless, absolutely shameless. But I love that about her. I love that about her because it reminds people that simply because people are old or older, actually, I'm really 86.
In real life.
Playing 70, in real life.
Wow.
I'm playing 77. It's wonderful to remind people that you don't just suddenly turn to dust because you can no longer conceive.
Sure.
You're still a sensual person, and I love playing that part of her. And here's the delicious part of it. the younger people love that. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Obviously, the older people do, yeah, because they're identifying, but not the younger people. I mean, when I say younger, I'm talking 16,
really?
19, 20. They love that part of Lydia, the character I play. They adore it. They laugh so hard because she is so, she's so blunt. God knows.
Okay, so what we've done is Netflix has sent over some clips.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to play some random clips. And each clip, I think, touches on a different theme that I have a list of questions for.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to play the clip and then
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is so good. Did you help cook this, Doc?
As a matter of fact, I did. Your mom and I, we work well together. We're like two peas in a pod.
Jess, it was fun. It was like cooking with one of my sisters.
Just the comparison I was hoping for.
I wish I could cook, but...
Oh, no, you're too busy being a real man.
Okay, what we have to do...
She's terrible. She's just... You know what's interesting about my character, Lydia? That it's the negatives about her that are so funny. Normally, you know, the negatives about a character make you dislike them and hate them. And while people may not agree with her, they love her.
Right.
They love her directness and her bluntness. I love it.
In that scene, I think we need to mention that you're sitting around the dinner table. You're having dinner with guests.
Right. The new boyfriend.
The new boyfriend.
Who's very handsome. Very handsome.
The new boyfriend of the mom in the series.
Right.
He was basically a hunk.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, as if that weren't bad enough, he looks like Bradley Cooper. I mean, give me a break. He really does, but he's huge. He's big. He's about, I don't know, six something important.
And that was the...
And, you know, when she first sees him, and Penelope says in the same episode, she says, "This is my new friend, my new boyfriend." And I say, "Oh, he is a stallion." I mean, that's. I mean, how would you feel if your mother was saying that?
Let's talk about the rest of the cast, because I just think it's
aren't they fabulous?
They're amazing. Superb.
I've never seen such chemistry between a cast. Yes, I have. All in the Family.
Sure.
And you know, other great shows, Maude. But man, that chemistry happened instantly the day we read the script aloud for the first time and had never met each other. It sounded then the way it sounds now. Is that amazing?
Why don't you introduce each actor
and
character?
Okay, the young man, Todd Grinnell, who plays Schneider, whom of course is a very difficult name for Lydia to pronounce. She calls him Schneider. But it's always with a, hello, Schneider. She's so bad.
He's flirting with him.
Constantly. She can't not. And then there's Elena, the teenage daughter, who is played by Isabel Gomez, who is just fabulous. I mean, she just gets better and better with each passing episode. And in the second season, she really sort of comes into her own.
Right.
And then there is,
He's always just called Doc in the show.
Well, you know, he's always called Doc. Steven Topolowski, who's just wonderful. And he becomes her boyfriend, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call it her chaste boyfriend. And she's always turning him on. He's going crazy.
He says, you can call me Leslie.
And she says,
why would I do that? That's a woman's name.
You remember? See, you remember my lines better because you've done less episodes than I have.
Why would I do that?
That's a woman's name. Oh, God.
She's terrible.
She's so blunt. And the son, Alex, is played by Marcel Ruiz. And he's Puerto Rican, by the way. Oh. The daughter is Colombiana. And that's Marcel Ruiz, who plays Alex. And then, of course, this spectacular actress, comedian, Justina Machado, who is, actually never stops to amaze me. She is probably one of the best acting partners I've ever had in my experience.
Really?
Oh, really, really. I don't say that lightly. but she knocks me out, and I will use every opportunity whenever I can to talk about her and her great, great talent. And I mean, this is a couple of Emmys waiting to happen. That's the way I see it. This woman is insanely crazy talented. She can be very funny and make you pee. And then on a dime, she can make you weep. And that's not an easy kind of talent. It's a very rare kind of talent, and I respect and admire her, and don't think I haven't learned things from her as an actress.
You're listening to Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. We're in the studio with Rita Moreno. Let's play another clip.
Okay.
Yeah! Why did it take one for the team?
Ay, por el amor de Dios, it is so hot.
What's that, the baseball game?
The baseball game.
Okay, let's eat. Okay. Mami comida.
Okay, the rice and the frijoles are in the pickle jar. And the lechon is in the butter tub. And the cookies are in the cookie tin, but they are not the same cookies that came with the tin.
I think that those are kind of things that are so familiar to Latino families of any culture,
of course,
right?
You save up all of those Tupperware things. You save up all of those plastic things so you don't have to buy any, because that costs money. But the other thing that you kind of miss, because you're not seeing it right now, is when she's saying she's hot, Lidia, and she's opening a bottle of ron, and she's
tapping herself.
She's tapping herself with some rum to cool off a little. Oh, it's so hot.
See, that's what I mean. Like the cultural nuances of the show, and the show doesn't make a big deal of it.
No,
it's just
it's in passing.
The flow.
It's part of the scene, and you laugh at it or you don't, and that's okay too. But you are amused. You don't have to laugh out loud to be amused by something.
And a lot of the cultural nuances, and some not so nuanced. For example, in the first season, it's a run up to a quinceañera.
Right.
For Elena.
Right.
And at first she doesn't want to do it.
No, because she's a...
Elena's character.
Oh, she's marvelous.
She's
a liberated young girl.
There you go.
A teenager.
There you go.
She's liberated and she criticizes everything. She doesn't like anything. And she has a huge vocabulary, which drives everyone crazy, especially Abuelita, who just thinks she's a snot nose. And there's always a tension between the grandmother and Elena, because one finds the other just one is sort of knee deep in another time, and the other is knee deep in nonsense.
And the special parts, the touching parts, the poignant parts are when the two meet.
Oh, and that's so wonderful, aren't they?
Yeah.
When Elena says to Grandma, you know, he's wearing makeup. My God, you know, it's so phony and this and that. It's phony, 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 phony. And Lidia takes that very much to heart because it's her grandchild. And, you know, as much as they are always at loggerheads, she also adores her grandchild. She loves her. And one night she comes in and Elena says, you're not wearing makeup. Well, I wanted to show you that, you know, that what's important is the person underneath the makeup, blah, 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 blah. And the scene, and it's very touching, and I did not wear makeup. But at the end of the scene, the child, Elena, the grandchild, says, wait a minute. Are you wearing mascara? No! No! And she runs out of the room and slams the door.
The poignant with the comedy.
But that's how they do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's there, right there. Is the secret of how they do that, because it's almost tear-making when she talks about how it was so important for her, the grandmother, to always look beautiful for her husband. That's from another time.
Sure.
That's from my time, actually.
I have to say that I think that's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen on television.
Really? Why?
Because for you as an actress, as a public persona, to do that scene without makeup and to let everybody see you.
And I really did.
Right. And to let everybody see you, I mean, without makeup. That's something very, very private, especially for a certain generation. That's very, very private. And for you to share that.
For a person who for some people is iconic,
right.
It's like, oh my God, right. Mira, Rita Moreno está usando maquillaje.
I just thought it was brave. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just also showed a vulnerability, but also it so effectively made the point, like you said, it's not all this. It's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. And the lesson that it taught the teenage girl mm-hmm. and the people watching. So let's play another clip, but it takes a little setup.
And it's when we realize, when we have accepted the fact that my grandchild, Elena, is gay. That's been accepted now. And there's a young girl who comes to the to our apartment, and Elena gets a sweet gleam in her eye. And the girl leaves.
I think somebody has a crush on her.
Danny, no, I don't. I don't even know her. You have a crush on her.
No. When it comes to detecting romance, I am like Cousin Orencio at the beach with his metal detector.
So you found nothing and you're sweating through your shirt?
Don't be bashful. I think it is fantastic to be young and in love and to flirt. And by the way, I can teach you things because your flirting is de madre.
And that particular scene goes back to the comedic writing and your comedic timing. And I want to ask you about that. I want to ask you about that because you're on fire on the show. Your comedic chops are as strong as ever, if not strongest, because your timing, the lines they write for you, your facial expressions, your body movements, it's a physical comedy, it's a cerebral comedy, and it's a cultural comedy. That line, because your flirting is de madre. You know, mm-hmm. not everybody's going to get that, but even if you don't understand it.
But you know why they get it? Because my voice changes.
Right.
Because they say, because your flirting is de madre. Right. I do that a lot with Lydia. Her voice, her tones change a lot. And a lot of the laugh lines come from going down here.
Huh.
Oh, really?
Right.
You know, think, oh, do you think so? It's a lot. It's very vocal. And it's all about tones.
You mentioned before we started the show that the group of writers includes Latinos, includes LGBTQ. There's a lot of different...
The world is in that writer's room. And obviously, the LGBTQ people are pretty young. And they are usually the best writers for the young people. Not always, because the older writers also... Yeah, they're very hip people. My God, they're so hip. And, you as a writer, you have to be up on stuff. You know, stuff that I never heard in my life
Snapchat.
Snapchat. I never heard of it. So mispronouncing it was really easy. You know, chape snap. Or snot. I don't know what I said. Oh, and I know what they said. And I said, well, she said, well, I don't want like to use chap snap. And I said, well, use the twat. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
She actually says, "You twat." And her daughter says, Mom, I don't think that's what you mean. I know what I'm in. I know what I'm in. I love doing her. What's not to love? She's hilarious.
The other part that I enjoy is the cultural touchings, right? The one scene where you wake up in the morning, you have your pajamas on,
mm-hmm.
and you're in your room separated by a curtain,
mm-hmm.
and it starts with, it sounds like some old Ben
Celia Moria. Cruz.
Celia Cruz, right. And then you get up and you dance your way into the kitchen.
To cook.
To
for
cook
the breakfast,
breakfast
for everybody.
And everything.
I know.
Those kind of things, I think, set the show off as
That's
well.
Her alarm, by the way. I don't think anybody knows that. The reason you hear that music is it's her radio alarm.
You're kidding.
And she plays. That's what it's supposed to be.
Ah.
And that's why you hear the music and why she's dancing to
right.
it.
Any idea who selects that music?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's Gloria. Gloria loves that stuff. And there may be other people in the room who select, but they're all younger.
Now, let's play another clip, and this one takes some setup, too. This is the same episode as the baseball game. You guys are coming back from the baseball game.
And he doesn't want to be called by that baby name anymore.
And it's also a point where if you're watching the show, you can see Alex physically change from...
From season one.
From season one.
For sure.
So this is the scene in the living room.
I don't know what's gotten into Alex. He must just be tired.
No, Lupita. I know what this is. Papito is making the turn.
The turn?
From beautiful boy to horrible teenager.
Oh, dear, our sweet little Alejandro. Where did the tiempo go?
R.I.P., papito.
He's not dead.
Isn't he, though?
I love that. I just love that. Because, you know, she has a mad crush on her grandson. That's just, you know, par for the course.
That's one of the things I want to ask you about, too, in Lydia's character. When Elena asks, do I have a nickname? And Lydia says, no. And it's played to a dramatic effect, but that's shutting her out in a way.
It is. She's mean to her sometimes because the child is so bloody smart. And I think Lydia's jealous of her. She's envious of the way she speaks English and all that kind of stuff and all her philosophy and stuff. And some of it comes out of pure jealousy. So she has to put her down in some way.
And so there's that little chink in her armor, but also there's an episode where race comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's insistent that the Cuban heritage that they share is Cuban, is European, and not necessarily black.
Oh, she would. Absolutely. I was, honestly, I was so thrilled when we find that Lydia is not more than a little bit racist, because she's talking about, but, you know, she's whispering in the ear of the boy, I believe.
Alex.
Yeah, Alex, that, we all come from Spain, and, you know, Spanish people have fair skin. And then her daughter, Penelope, says, oh, come on, mommy. You know very well that we come in all colors. All colors. And Lydia responds with, yes, but we're mostly white. And it's funny, but it makes a point.
Right.
And that whole episode is about bias, racial bias, and the fact that Elena doesn't get the brunt of that kind of bias because she's fair. And her brother is a kind of copper color.
Right.
And we find out, to maybe a little bit of our dismay, that the abuela would much prefer to be thought of as white. And I think that's very important because this exists all the time.
It's something that's not seen or very rarely portrayed in the
rarely see that, rarely. And I think it's very important that that's included in our series. But, you know, we don't leave anything out. We have such great writers and a great supervisor who is Norman Dear.
So just so that people will know what to expect, but not giving anything away, you deal with veterans' issues because Penelope, the mom, is
a veteran,
an Afghan veteran.
Afghanistan, yeah.
So there's some veterans, a show about veterans' issues. There's a show about immigration and a deportation that takes a dramatic turn in the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's LGBTQ issues.
Mm-hmm.
There's issues with the young son as he's coming of age. Age issues. With
citizenship.
Lydia. There's
citizen. I mean, we really deal with real life issues, and then we make them outrageously funny and deeply, deeply, profoundly touching sometimes.
You're listening to Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. We're in the studio today with Rita Moreno.
Now, listen, one of my big shocks when I did the first season was the third episode, which remains one of my favorites. And by the way, I think Norman Lear is also, when we take on whether God exists or not. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
That was astonishing. And I remember reading that script, turning the page and saying, oh my God, I'm so happy to be with a place like Netflix where you can do this. One of us probably doesn't believe in God. The other one says, absolutely. And the mother is the one who says, you know, her room is filled with pictures of the Pope and all kinds of stuff. And Justina says, well, I'm not so sure that I believe. And her mother, my character, says, well, I do, and I'll tell you why. because every single day that you were in Afghanistan, I was at church every day. And she says at the end of the speech, I don't remember it, but she says, he saved you because I begged him. I begged him. And it's very moving. And that doesn't necessarily convince Penelope, but Penelope understands that you have to give people their due. And if they believe or they don't believe, it's not for you to judge. I mean, it's just an astonishing episode. And it was our third.
Right. Let's talk about accents, because obviously you're talking to me right now. You don't have an accent. Mm-hmm. Lydia does.
Yeah. My mom had.
An accent like that in comedy and in sitcoms literally goes back to the invention of sitcoms with I Love Lucy and Desi Arnaz's portrayal of Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah.
Because he used that accent to comedic genius.
But he not only used it, he's read, he spoke that way.
That was his voice. Accents are a funny thing in comedy because if a non-Latino does it, there's a lot of room to be offended.
Yeah, they're legitimately.
And where do you see that line? How is it that you, as a Latina, can do an accent and it's used to comedic
and effect? And get away with it, which is what you're really saying, right? Well, I don't know. I really don't know how to answer that. I have heard American people do fantastic Puerto Rican accents or Cuban accents. On the other hand, I heard one of my favorite actors, Al Pacino, murder the Cuban accent. Yeah. What was that, Scarface?
Scarface.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a curious thing. It really is.
It's a very curious thing, and you can take it, you can be insulted by it, particularly when it's being used for comedic purposes. And I really don't know how to explain that. I don't know how you can get away with it and not get away with it. You know, I see that people know that I am Hispanic and that it's something that comes naturally to me, something I know extremely well, because, and they know, most of them know that my mommy talked like that.
Sure.
But, I mean, she used to say things that were just hilarious.
Can I play you my favorite Rita Moreno accent scene?
Oh, absolutely.
I had a dream. It's gonna control, baby. They think that we're through, but
your character from the film The Ritz, Googie Gomez,
which I did on Broadway.
Yes,
that came because Terrence McNally, the Broadway playwright, saw me do that song with that accent at a party. And he just thought that was one of the funniest things he'd ever seen. And then I did something else for him. I did the Player King speech from Hamlet with the accent. I mean, which is very funny. It's like, "Es big the bitch I pray you." That's supposed to be speech. "As I pronounce it to you, tripping me on the tongue." And it's a lot. Mostly it's about attitude.
Sure.
Because Googie Gomez took herself so seriously. And things like, "From the chores of Geechee Gumee, Hiawatha." And it was just, it makes me laugh. I still make myself laugh when I do that. It's very exaggerated, and it could be certainly termed as insulting, but it makes me laugh. Kill me, sue me. It's funny.
It is
funny. Like certain Yiddish accents are extremely funny.
Sure, accents in general, yeah. So we've talked about the show One Day at a Time, but I have to ask you about the recent announcement that Steven Spielberg's company is going to remake West Side Story.
You know my reaction. I know you want to say it, so what do you think?
Yes.
And my reaction is this. I'm very excited by it, and I'm scared to death. I am very nervous about it. I love his work. I think he's a brilliant director. Here's the thing. If it's going to be a contemporary version of West Side Story, you're going to have rap. And if you're going to have rap, what does that do to the songs? Do they use the songs? Do they not use the songs? And what, in fact, if you do rap, are you going to do about the dances? Because then the dances, the choreography has to change too. It may be a completely new West Side Story. And in a way, I almost hope it is, because I don't want anybody messing with that spectacular choreography. And yes, it had a lot of corny stuff that really needed help then. Things that made me angry and that were wrong. And the makeup, you know, we were all one color and that kind of stuff. But it depends on what they're after. And I cannot even begin to imagine. I'm dying to know.
I think we all are.
Yeah. Let's hope.
Okay, I've sat here for over 40 minutes, sitting across from you. So can I have a fanboy moment?
Yeah, what is that?
I'm just going to say, I'm going to speak for an entire generation of Latino baby boomers who have been enthralled by Rita Moreno. Your beauty, your grace, your humor, your screen presence, and your joy, it has always been such an inspiration for me and so many others. So I want to take this opportunity while sitting across from you to thank you for all of your work, your sacrifices, the way you've stood up for us, the way you celebrate our collective Latino cultures in your life, in your work. Thank you.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. I appreciate the love. Thank you.
And thank you for being an Alt Latino.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome back anytime, for any reason or for no reason.
Thank you.
I want to remind our listeners to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. I'm a very happy and emotional Felix Contreras. You've been listening to Alt Latino. Thank you for listening.